Doug Christie.
I mean, you know, you got to make a business decision.
He's Jason Ross.
Literally, how do I tackle him?
Spend your afternoons with DC and Jay Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
There, what's up? Welcome in, Tuesday edition of the show. Short week. Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. Trio of football games coming your way on Thursday on this Thanksgiving. And we've got plenty to get to here over the next 3 hours. Jason Ross, Doug Christie. What up, DC?
Oh, man. The sky, my outlook.
And you needed that needed to have a third answer.
Oh, it did?
The sky, the outlook, your vertical?
That's kind of going to be a negative right there.
I was trying to lift you up.
Well, you have been carrying me a little bit. We'll get into that later.
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
You're welcome. Coming up today on the show, we are tracking a lot of things, certainly, with the bogey situation. We will talk about that with Jason Jones from The Athletic. He is going to join us at 5:30. Also coming up at 4 o'clock, Bobby Marks, ESPN Insider. We had a chance to have a conversation with him late last week that we're going to let you hear today. So that's going to be coming your way. We got the return of top five, bottom five after another week of the NFL. Trouble or no trouble, Doug Christie's favorite segment. Five on it, the crossover. As you can tell, DC, it's a busy, busy day.
I'm about that life. Let's do it, man. This is what we're here for, and our listeners, they tune in for as well. And there's a lot on the bone, man. Mm-hmm. And do you get the bone like that?
No.
You don't?
No.
You leave meat on the bone? My grandmother slapped the hell out of you. What's wrong with you, boy? Clean that bone off.
I would have said, you know what? No slapping. Here you go. I offered up because there are people that just leave nothing. And those people love that part of the meal, so I offered up.
Oh, okay.
Cheersies.
And then she would have said, it's your job. Clean that.
I probably would have had one and only meal over there.
No. Grandmother Seal would have enjoyed you. You got a good spirit. Chris, on the other hand.
Oh, no. He'd have to eat at the kids' table outside.
I would think so. But she would invite him back, too.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Clean the fish.
Somebody's got to do it.
Scales off.
First things first.
Close things first.
All right, let's start out here with Bogey Watch. It continues, Doug. We still don't know. It was technically two full business days. I think we have till 8:59 tonight or 9 o'clock tonight for the Kings to make their official decision on whether or not they're going to match the Atlanta Hawks. So the winning game continues.
Okay, so do you have a gut feeling about this?
I do.
See what I did there? Okay.
We're
2 days away, but
2 days.
It does not stop, yeah. Baby.
I do not think they're going to match, but that's my gut.
I'm actually with you. My personal, and that's not my job, but I have, maybe it's not.
You don't want to lose them for nothing.
Yes. Thank you. You could see it in my face, right?
I don't either, but I don't, and it's not even a risk to re-sign him because Bogey is good. You would get him at that salary. I'm concerned about what that could lead to in the fact that, yeah, you could trade him later. You could trade him relatively soon if you get his participation in another team.
Mm-hmm.
You could then move Buddy. I mean, there's a lot of – you have to do more almost by signing
but
him.
But that's part of it because you got to think about the healthiness and the culture of what it is that you're trying to build. But those are really, really tough decisions. When we do talk to Jason Jones, we will ask him about the cap and where the Kings are on the cap. If they sign Bogey, what does that do to their cap? If they don't sign Bogey, what does that do to their cap? There are – and you take into consideration Halliburton, who they signed, that plays the one and the two, similar to Bogey. Could you go a little bit of smaller ball from time to time? There's a possibility because then you got Buddy and Bogey, two and three, Halliburton, Fox, and these are questions. I have a feeling also that Jamias Ramsey, he looks like he could be a player, and if he improves rapidly, you never know. I mean, some of these guys may be in the mix. So a lot of decisions in a short amount of time. So after we get off, by the time I get home, I'll be calling you.
Yeah, oh, we'll be discussing off air, and then we'll certainly revisit it all tomorrow. But as this watch continues, I mean, from all the camps, you can't undo things because, to me, it seemed clear the plan was to deal with Milwaukee. I mean, the Kings agreed to that. At some portion, it seemed like Bogey did, whether or not They were all the way in on that because they still have to sign that, so they ultimately didn't. Milwaukee wanted it, and it seemed like, okay, that was a first step. That was a, hey, we want DiVincenzo as the centerpiece from the Kings side of things. And then we'll have some money, and we'll go attack the rest of free agency. I feel like this whole thing has hamstrung them, too, because
absolutely
the cap question you just posed, and we'll ask Jason as well. But they haven't really been able to attack free agency because this is still hanging out there, and a lot of things have been scooped up.
So based upon what is out there, tell me if I'm correct, if you can only trade him in – so say let's say we sign Bogey back.
Okay.
Okay. If then you wanted to move him – what happens?
I think if I understand everything correctly, he, you know, now he has established a new value of his contract.
Okay.
He cannot go back to Atlanta for 1 year.
Okay.
Because of the initial offer. He can go to any other team with his approval.
Okay, so his approval.
So that's another little caveat.
That's a caveat that
for the first year.
Remember this, Kings fans, because when you play the Hawks, you beat the hell out of them, okay?
And they threw in a kicker of a 15%.
So 15% on $18 million, let's just call it, $3 million, is that about right? Every $150,000 per million.
Yeah. Ballpark. Yeah.
Okay. So
now
could that be an incentive?
Million.
To say, okay, we signed you back, but we have an idea to move you. Are you okay with that? Because you're going to get $3 million more.
An incentive to sign him, you mean, from the Kings?
No, for him to sign.
Oh.
And move.
Yeah. I mean, honestly.
I know you got 90 days, which put you in, whatever. Well, actually, you'd have to wait to a trade deadline because 90 days from now, the season's about to start on Tuesday.
Bogey's in the best spot here. His contract, his rate has been set. He's either going to make 18 from the Hawks or 18 here.
Yep.
And then potentially
another two and a half,
if
three.
If he goes to the Sixers, I don't know, just throw out a team on a quick trade by the Kings within the first year.
Right.
But I think when you go on that premise, Doug, to me, why, again, I'm under the same general thought. I don't want to lose him for nothing. I think at this point, you're going to, if obviously if you don't resign him, you are. But I don't think you bring him back just because of that. I think you were ready to move on, not in a negative way on him. I think there's plenty of people that like him, but it seems the one consensus is Monty McNair wanted to have a younger roster, and Bogey's not too old.
No, but he's 28.
By doing that, now you're, I think, going to probably deal him and get less in return, or not your original plan, which still could work out for you. You're going to then now seek younger players. Are you showcasing him to play him and restricting Halliburton a little bit, or we got to showcase Hield to get him spotlight so we know what to do? I just think it puts you at the mercy of too many other elements out there. And heaven forbid, I would never ask this. He could get hurt. And now that thing's changed. I mean, you're just stuck, I think.
You know, there's always, and I talked about expiring contracts yesterday, and the Kings have, I counted four, it could be more, Corey Joseph, Parker, Bielitsa, and Holmes. So even if, say, you dealt with the Bucks and still said, this is something that we want to do, and we still want to get make that trade, maybe you have to take something on an expiring contract that's more than initially you wanted to. It's how bad do you want to do business? I guess it comes down to it, because you kind of been put between a rock and a hard spot.
Well, and the other thing, the offshoot of where a lot of this goes, I think, from the athlete perspective, but put this in your own workforce, wherever you work, wherever you're listening today, the term, and I may have this wrong, but I feel like Bogey was quoted as saying that he felt deprioritized by the Kings. And I think
is that a quote?
Along those lines. Yeah.
Okay.
From the Kings perspective, but you know where I think that's coming from 100%?
Where?
Is money. Because let's now try to be in Bogey's shoes and say last year we watched them play better when he was put in the starting lineup. He also watched Vlade give a hefty contract to Harrison Barnes.
Yep.
A hefty contract to Buddy Hield.
Yep.
Offer him one that was less, which is all the Kings could offer him last offseason or before the season, which he turned down, and his new one will be more. But his new one is still less than those two guys. I think the deprioritized is, we know you love Fox. We probably think you love Bagley. You just paid those two guys.
Yeah.
Aren't I one of the more – again, he's going to get good money, but I think that's where – go to your own workforce.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I do more than Jim in accounting. I do more than – Susie over here, and they get paid what? Like, feelings get hurt that way.
I mean, just from my experience, I've been through it. I thought that I was more valued than I my yearly compensation paid me, and you have to be a professional and go about your business. But that is a part of what you go through, and it's not a good feeling, because how does a team show you that they appreciate you and respect you? Most times it's the compensation that they give you. Now, if you're winning championships and you're competing for championships, okay, we can kind of work with each other, because I'm part of trying to make that happen. And for Bogey at 28 years old, this is probably the last big contract that he is going to get. So his mindset is, I want to make sure that I, for myself and my family, I get as much money as I possibly can, which is understandable.
Yeah, our YouTube's asking, so if we match him, does that mean we prioritize now? Well, I would say that fence could be mended. I mean, don't you? I mean, as much as feelings could be hurt.
I'll give you an example. Yeah. That's why, because I wanted to go into a negotiation with my agent. He was like, no, you don't want to do that. He was like, because you're going to hear things that are going
to. Oh, I see. You didn't personally want to go in. Or you wanted to. Yeah. He told you no.
I was like, let me. He was no.
It's because, like that?
Well, it's not, but that's the playing hardball. And as soon as the contract's signed, we love you.
Yeah.
But
we always wanted you, Doug.
But prior to that, you know, your free throw percentage ain't what it was. You know, it looks like you might be losing a step. You know, we thought your shooting percentage would be more. You know, foul trouble. Yeah. And then, you know, sometimes you're a little hot-headed. It's like you don't want to hear all that stuff.
There'll be some random stat.
Yeah, that's what you put under once it's done.
Yeah. Right. They're at the first one out of the press conference. So are you.
Yep.
Taking pictures, holding up the jersey. But you might hear, honestly, Doug, in the 50 games we won last year, fourth quarter minutes, you were the lowest of the starters. We won more games. And it's like, wait, what?
Really? Plus, minus? And
what?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. You only made 30 free throws in a row. I said, check the stats. where was Jay when I needed him? Yes. Damn.
Yeah, you're right. That gets down to agents and the front office. And
to our YouTubers, first of all, thank you guys for watching. But also, that is it's realistic that you have to downplay. It's like going to buy something. It's like, I don't really like that, but you really like it and you really want it. But if you want to get it for a better price. Yeah. You better play like you don't.
Yeah, but you're right, though. I think, I mean, from your perspective, you're right. Like, Bogey, if the Kings match, which, again, my gut's telling me no, you're kind of thinking they won't, but if they do, they're good. Like, we're cool, right?
Yeah. We should be.
You need to be. You need to be a professional.
Otherwise, you're not professional.
Right.
And that is, sometimes that happens, and then the person grows. We've seen people leave the NBA and then go, or leave the NFL, and now they're like, you know, Barry Bonds strikes me as one, because he deals with the press a lot different than he dealt with the press, and he said as much. It's like, you know, I wasn't that kind and nice. But as you age and you understand and you're in the moment, it's different.
Right, you're right, in the moment, because you told us the story of the Spurs called you. You were on the golf course. Tim Duncan called you.
Yep.
So, I don't know, if you did enter one of those Kings negotiations and you're in there with Petrie or somebody says something, and it's like, whatever, we threw out those random stats, like, you're like, you know what? I'm going to the Spurs. Like, in that heat of the moment, you might go, you know what? They want me.
Yeah. You're right. If you get into your emotions that way. Most times, what I always told my agent, I said, I know my game better than you do.
Well, that's true.
So when you say that, now I'm looking at him like, man, come on, you know better than that.
Yeah.
You know, in those moments, who shows up? Who's willing? Who practices? Who goes through it? But that's the nature of the beast. And that's why sometimes we get mad at you know, I'll give you one. Guys who won't shoot the ball at the end of the quarter.
Right. To percent, save percentage.
But when you go in to negotiate, the percentage is the percentage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shooting the ball at the end of the quarter.
Right.
But I was never really a numbers guy like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe I should have been a little more.
Yeah.
I need to get 20 points a game instead of 16.
Yeah.
That's only two buckets, Jason. I just want you to know.
But that's a different pay range.
It is.
As silly as that may be.
But now I got to be a little greedy.
Be a lot greedy.
Only two buckets.
Yeah.
Instead of dropping it, drive it.
Yeah.
Just saying.
First things first.
First things first.
All right, of course, more on Bogey throughout the show. We'll continue this at the bottom of the hour, certainly with Bobby Marks and with Jason Jones, but more free agent signings. It's funny, we said yesterday we're looking at a list, I think it was CBSSports.com, had their top 100 free agents. I said, Doug, it's still weird that it feels like they're all gone, but number one, number two, and Bogey was five, we're still out there.
Yeah.
Well, some signed today, as far as Brandon Ingram gets his new deal to stay with the Pelicans, which everybody knew that was going to happen.
Similar to Foxes.
Yes. Yeah. And then Bam Adebayo
similar
signs
to Foxes.
as well, which is interesting because there was a quote after that that Giannis was impressed that Miami, because there was some talk they may wait on that one to see if they could squeeze in Giannis late next year. And then, you know.
Listen, if you want Giannis,
go get him.
You figure it out.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
But I think I interrupted you, but it was the quote from Giannis that he was impressed they took care of their guy.
Yeah, and did it in this way.
I appreciate that.
So he sees it.
And that's why I say, whenever we're talking about this stuff, everyone's watching.
Mm-hmm.
So it's how do you deal with people? How do you take care of people? Because that news travels. And if an MVP, two times, is looking at how somebody else is handling their business, like, if I was Milwaukee, I'd be thinking, damn. That's what I'd be thinking. Really, huh?
Well, so let's take this then back to the Kings' perspective, because we know they've been the Kangs, right? People, oh, here they go again. Is this a here they go again? Probably for some, but I don't know if they could have avoided this thing with Milwaukee is really unique.
So I think people, I don't know. I'd have no idea what went on truly. But for whatever reason, this leaked out, it sounds like money and it sounds like an agent. That's what it sounds like. I don't know if that's what happened. So if that's the case, Jason, people who are in the know and they know that that wasn't Monty and the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
So people who want to get clicks and different stuff, they may say because now you're just hopping on the bandwagon of all the things that have been done and the losing that's went on and 14 years of no playoffs and all that. So it's cute. But at some point, it doesn't matter. You have to put together a ball club that goes out there and beats the hell out of people.
Yeah.
It's just how it is. Oklahoma City, they revamped many times. We look at what Portland's done. These are Utah. These are small market teams that they figure out a way to get it done, and the Kings are next.
Yeah, I would say, Doug, the year ago at this time, we were talking about two guards on this team, and Buddy and Bogey, that could start on a lot of teams. Maybe not every team, but almost every team.
No doubt.
And as a position of strength.
Okay.
Now you could be hours away from losing Bogey, who was more than comfortable taking money to play for. I mean, the Hawks were worse than the Kings last year.
Yeah.
I mean, by record, they may be better this year. And then Buddy, who seems frustrated, was certainly frustrated with Jaeger, and I think at times last year was frustrated with Walton. That's an interesting spot that the Kings are in with those two talented players.
Well, so you take the Bogey, it's a free agent thing.
Yeah, his time is up. It's his time.
It's how it goes. With Buddy, there was frustration with two coaches. Some of that, Buddy got to look at himself. That's just me being 1,000. You got to take care of. But at the same time, Buddy has a skill, bro, that, like, he's in the top 2% of the NBA, which is it's the leader in the whole wide world at what it does. So he's a special shooter. Now you have to figure out, is his frustration because he wasn't starting? Now does this allow him to start? These are all things I'm sure that they're talking about down there and trying to figure out the best way to attack all of this stuff, because part of it, I talk about mind, body, sport. Right now we're talking about the mind part. How do I get in there, Buddy, and get out what I need?
Yep.
Healthily, for the team, everybody working at the same thing. That's a thing, Jason.
Yeah, and I like what you've said about Buddy, because Buddy, it's never been about, like, anybody follow him on Instagram. Look, he's a machine right now. I mean, he's working out. We know that. He's going to get a million shots up this offseason.
Yeah.
Great. What are the other things? Like, you want him to work on the other stuff, because I think for his position, he's elite at shooting.
Yep.
He's a good scorer. He averaged 20 points a game 2 years ago and was threatening for last year, and then ultimately went to the bench and didn't quite get there. Is a good rebounding guard.
Yes, he is.
But there's a lot of other areas that still need to get better. Creativity, defense, following kind of the guidelines of the game. But I feel like those can be coached.
I do too. It's I've talked to Buddy many, many times, but it's tapping into understanding how you're going to get all of those things out of him. Because if you're coming to my practice and you do a certain thing as well as he does, but there are other deficiencies. We're not working on the thing that you do good. We're going to work on all the things that we need to work on, because I'm pretty certain that you're probably going to go do the thing that you really do good on your own.
Yeah.
So you don't want that to fall off, because kind of that's your thing. But yes, that is where player development, coaching, all that stuff comes into play.
Yeah, for sure.
First things first.
Brady back to throw. He spins it down the right side and intercepted. Intercepted by Fuller at the 30. His second of the game. He takes a knee, and that should do it for Monday Night Football. The rookie with two picks in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that was from the Rams Radio Network. Last game of the week for Week 11. And it was the Rams that make the statement and beat the Bucks. But Doug, today feels like it's less about the Rams, even though they got a quality win, as more about Brady and the Bucks. Here's Bruce Arians after the loss and the interceptions by Brady.
The first one, he got hit. It looked like I had Chris going right down the middle, and he stepped up and just didn't get enough on it with the pressure. The last one was just a misread of the coverage.
All right, then one more comment here from Brady as well about the miscues.
Yeah, just a bad read, and Cam was running up the seam, and just at the last second I saw the safety coming over and just, popped it over Cam's head. So just a bad read, bad throw, decision, everything.
So what's interesting about the Bucs, they had that game where they crushed the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
The next week, they just got past the Giants. Like, they eked through that game, didn't play well. Then they just got throttled by the Saints, bounced back and crushed the Panthers. It's like, you know what? Antonio Brown settling in. Mm-hmm. We're gonna see them really, really cruise here. And then last night happened. And so they've lost two of their last three. I don't think they're in any kind of major overall trouble, but they're kind of either really good. They weren't bad last night by any means, but I don't feel like they found their stride just yet completely with consistency.
Yeah, so there's a lot here. First of all, the defense, it's kind of hit and miss. We've seen it be really good, and we've seen it be really bad. I thought the New York Giants game was a telltale that I didn't pay attention to as far as the offensive line, the pressure that you get on Brady. There was a little pressure last night. Even Donald didn't get to him the way that you probably – but you heard him say he got hit. When I watch Patrick Mahomes and I watch some of these other, even Russell and Wilson and some of these elite quarterbacks, it's not the talent, it's the game plan. And I think that when you look at Bill Belichick, he figures out a way for this week. Well, Arians wants to no risk it, no biscuit. And the problem is, I think that you need to run it more. I think you need to dink and dunk a lot more and then pop the top off.
Yeah.
They're just trying to do the thing that it looks like. There was one time when they lost and got beat bad by whoever that was.
The Saints crushed
them. The Saints, and they only rushed five times.
Right.
Like, in the middle of the game, you don't see, like, okay, our jumper ain't falling. Maybe we need to drive to the hole.
Exactly.
I mean, I even say that sometimes. I'm like, dude, come on. You got to well, that, to me, it's not a excuse for Brady, because those were terrible throws, but you got to find a way to kind of distribute, and you got so many weapons, they can't take them all away, but they can take a type of them away, meaning, AB, I'm taking away long distance.
Right.
Popping the top off.
Throw it short. Yeah.
And then let him yards after catch.
Yeah, was it the it was the first touchdown to Evans. Like, that was an unbelievable individual. Like, it was a short pass. It was near the goal line, but he took the guys for two guys to the end zone for the last 5 yards.
Yep.
Amazing.
So you got tight ends, you got multiple, and you got running backs, multiple receivers. It just looks to me like they haven't figured that aspect of it out. Tom, is his arm what it was? Nah,
That's okay.
He's aging. It's okay.
Right.
It is totally serviceable, because we see even last night, some of the passes that he made. Those were bad passes and bad reads, and you're going to get beat. I would say, 27 points for L.A., who is rounding into shape, mm-hmm. man. They are a scary bunch, because the one thing that they're doing is they're playing defense.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. And – yeah.
I thought they were going to lose, though, in a couple times, including late, opting for field goals. Especially, I think they had a third down both times where they ran the ball.
And
I
thought, last one.
Yeah, I go, oh, you're running because you're going to go for fourth down. Wait, you ran and then kicked a field goal?
I agree.
You're going to lose this game.
Right, because they gave the ball back.
Right, with plenty of time for Brady. And now Brady threw the pick.
I want to say he did like a, you know, shotgun, delayed run.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, you got hit before you got to line of scrimmage, but you need 6 yards.
Right.
What are you doing right now?
Right.
I don't know if that speaks to not trusting your quarterback, because that's a thing too. Oh man,
yeah.
There's a lot in Tampa Bay. They do got the talent, but can they hold on? We'll see. Yeah.
All right, more football coming up with our top five, bottom five in the 4 o'clock hour. Trouble or no trouble, still to come. Bobby Marks joins us, ESPN front office insider. Jason Jones from The Athletic, five on it as well. When we come back, what else can the Kings do this late in the game in free agency to improve their roster? Doug and I will discuss that next on KHDK.
To laugh next time.
Yes.
I see that. Oh, is my mic on? Welcome back, everybody.
Back here on Sports 1140 KHDK, Bobby Marks joins us at the top of the hour. I threw out a quick poll question, Doug, to our YouTube viewers. And again, that's been great to see all the people checking us in.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
A quick poll question, guys, for all of you out there. Do the Kings match the bogey offer sheet? Yes or no? Here's just a quick yes. Yes. I sure hope so. Yes. And then trade him or Buddy. Yes. Let's see, match and trade Buddy, or don't match and keep Buddy as our options. So I don't really see any no's at this point, but we'll see.
I think people kind of feel the same way, as given a player that is as good as him up for nothing, it's hard to fathom.
Yeah.
But
it does happen.
It does, absolutely. Because a team like Atlanta will come in and put something in front of them that just can't turn down.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah. Oh, I do like that.
I do like that. I always like Georgia. Oh, shrimp and grits.
Yes. Let's check in on the phone lines here. Javier checking in with us today. What's up, Javier?
How are you guys doing, Mr. Christie, Mr. Ross?
Great. What's up with you?
Okay. So, you know, I've had a few days to digest this and have had the opportunity to talk to you guys about this. But, you know, if they let Bogdanović walk, that's a loser mentality. And I know people are like, oh, you're exaggerating, over the top. You realize the business side of it. No, because teams that win this in this league, they go to try to win every night, no matter what the, you know, more or less vision of the team is right now. I know they say, oh, they might try to blow it up. Well, I haven't seen that. And even to say they might want to blow it up and let go of the salary they can afford, that's nonsense. Because the last 14 years I've witnessed, you know, back and forth, the changing regimes and visions, this, that, and the third. The Kings want to say, oh, we'll blow it up and we'll get shooters. You have shooters right now. You have a Buddy Hield. You have a Bogdan Bogdanović. Whether they say we can't afford him, it isn't as if, you know, you sign Bogdanović, you can't train for the whole year. What's the number one thing that the teams try to get at the deadline when they're trying to make that playoff push? They're looking for shooters and defensive specialists. Bogdan Bogdanović might not be able to trade at the deadline in February, whenever the deadline is for the coming season. But Buddy Hield will be a coveted asset come the trade deadline this coming year. To say that, oh, we're going to be hamstrung. You'd be handsome for a few months, yeah, but you don't let go of talent that way. And I'm quoting you know, a great basketball mind and NBA credentialed media member, Leo Diaz of the Cowboy Kingdom. He said the same exact thing, and that loser mentality that I'm learning is that not just in the world, but just in the NBA, because he has a lot more intel than me. If you let Bogdanović walk for nothing, it doesn't tell us, McNair, what you're saying is being transparently full circle with what you're trying to display. He said the first thing at his press conference is, I'm here to acquire talent. You don't have the luxury, and Mr. Christian, you had a conversation about this. You have the luxury just letting talent walk out the door in Sacramento. Granted, we want to have people start to come to Sacramento. But Bogdanović is something that is invaluable to this team. And you can say, well, they put all these exceptions and clauses and regulations with the contract that Atlanta did. Screw them. You can match the offer. You control Bogdanović's fate. And the whole, we don't have the money, that's nonsense. The Kings can get rid of contracts at the deadline or even right now. Bogdanović's skill set is something you don't just find in the draft. You don't find in free agency. And fans will say, we can find a shooter like that. You already have him. You already have that shooter in your disposal. To say you're going to let him walk out the door is incompetent.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Javi. There was a lot there to
I only listened to like a quarter because he lost me in there someplace.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you remember where?
Same place he lost you. and Chris and Jay. there's the premise of I get it. I think that in many ways Javier is thinking like me, is like, this is a big time asset being hamstrung for a short period of time. Does it outweigh it? And that's kind of, Javier, what we were talking about earlier was, okay, and we're just throwing numbers around here, but if the offer was 15 originally to move him, that doesn't go through. Now it's 18 to 20, whatever it is. If you'd signed him and now 15%, he gets 15% on the first year, so that's about $3 million. So if you were going to sign for 15, but now you got to add three, so it's $6 million more. Those are all the things that you got to take it. But also, is that asset, Jason, worth dealing with all that? You kind of said that earlier. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of things that you got to deal with,
yes,
trying to figure out. Also, two shooting guards. And when it comes to the locker room stuff, that one, you should be able to work that one,
yeah,
out. Like, listen, this is what we're here doing. Professionals, let's get our grind on. We're here to represent the name on the front, not the name on the back, and do our thing. But it's tough. So to hear Javier, what I did hear of his conversation, tuned out there for a second,
yeah,
long second. I understand.
Yeah.
Just let me say that.
Well, the short thought for me on that is, even with all the things that we're weighing in money and age and years going forward, if Bogey's on this team, the Kings are a better team. But how much better? This is a team that hasn't made the playoffs. This is a team that, I mean, honestly, with him here,
right,
I would say they're a couple of wins better.
Right.
I don't think they're a playoff team today. That doesn't mean they can't be. I'd said
is
last
he a playoff player?
On the right team.
I think so, too.
He hasn't made this team a play, and it's not on him.
Right.
But it's
he's
on
the
him.
Type of player that if he was on a playoff team, I think he would do fantastic.
I think the fit with Milwaukee was perfect. I think he may go to Atlanta and be a guy.
Yeah, but if they're trending in that direction and they put together the type of team, and it's the Eastern Conference that doesn't, it's not the Western Conference,
right,
there is a possibility. When you say age, it just hit me. It's funny when guys are younger, they'll figure it out because, mm-hmm, you know, they're only 22. Then you get to like 28. Now you start mentioning my age. You know, Doug, who is 28? Yeah. Like, why are you mentioning my age now? Because that's the leverage thing.
Yeah.
You want to take money out of my pocket, Jason. What the hell are you doing over there?
Because when you were 22, we wanted you to get to 28.
Exactly.
Now you're
28.
Like, well, I'm looking at that 22-year-old. Old now. Man, it is cruel. It's the way the sport goes.
No doubt.
But honestly, I think if it was flipped, we'd be saying the same thing about Buddy. Like, Buddy is signed. This is one thing you could do to change the team. And again, the changing part was the Milwaukee offer. Now that's off the table. And the only reason you're signing him, in my opinion, is to not lose him. And that's not a good mentality. It should be
Is that what you was on say, Jay?
Signing him because we want, and I don't think they don't want him, but it's they don't kind of want him, I guess. I mean, I know I'm saying the same thing there, but
real quick question to both of you guys. And Jason, you're kind of saying what I believe. I don't want to say most, but people, I think me and you are kind of in the same boat, and Javier kind of a little bit. Javier thinks highly of Bogey when it comes to on the floor. Me personally, I've been one of the people that said, I just think he's a guy. I don't think he really changes much for the Kings and for another team. He's just a guy to me. But my question to both of you guys is this. I think we're kind of down to the smallest of the form is this. And you said this, I think, off air. Mm-hmm. Do you bring him back not to lose him for nothing? Or do you bring him back and hope that you can get anything down the road? I think that's kind of where the conversation is right now. And I think a lot of it's kind of being crossed over because some people, and I love that, you know, Kings fans are passionate, mm-hmm, but a lot of times I think here, and we don't say this enough, and I'll be honest, I don't think we say this enough as Kings fans. We have to learn to break ourselves from certain people. And Kings fans are great in the fact that we accept everyone. We love a person who puts on a Kings uniform. But this is also the NBA. And, D, you've talked about this 100 times. You've mentioned this when Jeff Petrie traded you. Mm-hmm. You're family. Mm-hmm. And once you're a part of the Kings family, you're family.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is this is a business. And I know I'm speaking, this is common sense stuff, but a lot of times we have to refresh that in our mind and make sure that that's understanding. We're talking about money. We're not talking about, and of course, they're playing with millions, billions. We get it. Mm-hmm. But we're still talking about money where people are hard capped. We're talking about people's lives. And meaning Buddy, meaning Fox. Like, we just signed De'Aaron. And if you bring back the same team, it's the same team.
Right.
And everyone in the Pacific got way better for the most part.
But this is the change just for change's sake. The reason I say is like,
but
having,
it's not that,
that asset, having that asset, yeah. What do you flip that asset
and
for?
And that's the thing. And that's why I'm trying to bring it full circle. It's not just to bring him back to have it. It's really to bring him back, to move him down the road, him and or okay. Buddy, or the fact of you just don't want to be handicapped with the money. That's what it's really about.
Yeah,
it's not no about doubt. This team being better, because point blank period, this team's not going to be better if he comes back. It's going to be the same team for the most part. They're going to get a little better because of growth and everything else. But I'll be hard. Again, if they win 30 games again, it's by a miracle.
Well, and
with this
Pacific. And I don't think it's a slide on Bogey. I don't think it would be because of him. I think it's because Marvin's playing all the time.
Correct.
And it's better. Maybe De'Aaron jumped another
the
level.
Team.
And Bogey complements that.
Exactly.
But, I think your phrasing is interesting, Jay. I think it's less about wanting him back as to what you can flip him to. And if that's your plan, like –
it's about assets, right?
Let him go.
No, it is. And that's what I've always said about your Utahs, even your Dallas teams like that. You got to have a deep bench that has many players to be able to compete against these high-level superstar teams.
Yeah. All right, we're going to continue this conversation. Also, where is this Kings rotation right now? What else can they do to get better in the short term while we wait on the decision for Bogey? We continue with more right after this on KHDK. All right, back here on KHDK, Jason Ross, Doug Christie, Bobby Marks joins us at the top of the next hour. Trouble or no trouble, top five, bottom five, all in a jam-packed 4 o'clock hour. Five on it, and Jason Jones in the 5 o'clock
Double
hour.
J.
Yes, this has been a good conversation. We continue it during the break. Jay, our producer, was giving us some good ideas to think about as well. With or without Bogey?
Okay.
How many teams right now, again, this is such an unfair game to play because you play the game on the court last year.
Don't set it up, man.
I didn't think OKC was going to be good, though, honestly. I did not.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't think that they would be, but they were. We saw what Chris Paul did. They did trade their sense. Some teams in the Western Conference lost. I think Denver lost by losing.
But not out of the playoffs.
No, not out of the playoffs, but they're not as deep. Craig, they lost.
Uh-huh.
They lost Grant.
Plumlee.
Those pieces. Are big pieces for a team that had to pay a few guys and now didn't want to spend money. Curry is as minuscule as you might look at it, being such a good shooter on that Dallas team. That's a
Dallas had?
They didn't do too much.
Yeah, let's do this. I'm going to go down the teams.
All right,
and again, we'll just play it right now without playing games. Are the Kings better than this team?
Okay,
in your mind, roster for roster, I guess.
So hold on. Do we have Bogey or we don't have Bogey?
As of now, we don't. We're wait and see, right?
Okay.
We'll play it as we don't know. So
Farks,
we'll go
Bonds,
no.
Okay.
Are we basing it off of pre-Bubble Kings or post-Bubble Kings?
Current Kings. Current Kings sans Bogey.
I hate him, man.
Because there are definitely different answers for pre-Bubble Kings and Bubble Kings.
Dallas.
They're better.
Dallas is better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Houston.
Do they have Harden?
Yeah. Harden, Westbrook, Cousins, Christian Wood. That was a good team last year. They're better than the Kings.
I would say similar.
Really?
Even
with Harden and Westbrook.
Oh, Westbrook's too. Okay, so I thought you were saying like.
Well, none of that's happened
yet. Yeah, if they got both of them, they're better. My bad.
Memphis.
Toss up? About the same. Toss up.
New Orleans.
Better. Yeah.
Okay.
I think even though to take that back. Because they lost Drew Holiday.
Yes, they did.
That's a big loss.
And they got Bledsoe. They got Hill. They lost Favors. They added a couple other pieces. Well, then they got Steven Adams.
I think that they're better. Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Spurs.
Toss up.
Okay.
And the Kings just, De'Aaron plays
well
against
them.
Yeah.
Warriors.
With the loss of Clay, They won 73% of their games with all three of them. I think it went to 42% of their games with two of them. Yeah. And with one of them, they're just.
Yeah, but now you got to think it's Clay. I'm sorry. It's Steph. Draymond. Let's go Wiggins. Yeah. Oubre.
Okay.
There's enough there, right? Clippers?
Definitely.
Yeah. I think they did not get better, but no. I think they're better than Kings. Lakers, yep. The champs got better, sadly, I think, considerably.
I don't got nothing for you, okay. man. Okay.
Suns?
Yeah, they've improved.
Okay. Denver?
Yep.
Minnesota? I don't love their roster.
I don't either. That's a toss-up. Yeah.
OKC? I don't even know what they are.
I don't either, and I think that the Kings will compete against them. So yeah.
Okay. Portland? I think they had a really good offseason.
Yep.
And Utah?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we're comfortable saying Minnesota, OKC. We said the Spurs are kind of a what and what. Yeah. Memphis. So they're in that 11, 10, 11, like on paper, which it doesn't matter.
Right.
But 11 through fit to last.
But understand, this is what OKC was.
Yes.
This is what Memphis was.
Right.
This is what.
And Portland would have been probably a four seed coming in, and they didn't really make it, with the exception of the addition late, and then they got in.
So part of it is stardom and what a player does.
Yeah.
We have a player on our team named De'Aaron Fox that can take a jump, and he can take a quantum leap. He did in the bubble. What the Kings need is for Marvin Bagley to come alive. That will give them – ultimately, what you're seeing out of Memphis with their point guard and their power forward and the pieces that you put around that take you to that next level. So, yeah, listen, no one's saying that they're going to go out and win a boatload of games. I thought that this was a team that could have done some things, and it didn't come together the way that I thought it would last year. And then the injury of Marvin Bagley, then you didn't have Fox for a while. You didn't have – so maybe even with that, if they were in the Memphis area,
yeah,
people might look at this a little different and maybe appreciate the talent a little more. But, yeah, they're going to struggle.
Hit me with the going in. Again, we're saying no bogey as of now. The three best players, are we comfortable saying, are Fox, Bagley, and Buddy?
Yeah.
To start the year.
Yep.
What are Fox's numbers need to be next year if he's coming off a 21-4-7 year?
Let's stay with the 21.
Okay. Points, and we know it could go more, but that's fine.
The assists need to be
closer to 9 to 10, huh?
Yeah. At least 8.
Okay.
And the rebounds.
Fine. 4 is fine.
4? Yeah. 5 would be great.
Sure.
Because that's elite. 5 is, that's when you're up in that area for a guard, you're doing some things. And he has the ability. And I wouldn't want him to actually use his jumping ability to go get him. Just come back in certain times, give me 1 or 2 a quarter, and you've got it.
Yeah.
But it's the assists that need to go up. And that means guys need to knock down shots.
Buddy was at 19, not quite 5 boards. We'll go 19-4-3.
21-5-4.
Okay. And then Bagley, that's the mystery man. And again, just 13 total games. 14-8-1 will round up.
18-6 or 16-10?
16-10 would be more productive, I think.
That's my point.
And
like,
maybe 2 assists if he can.
Because, I'd say this, he's still a young player, and I know in his mind he's got to be thinking, I got to show him. That's 18. Okay? Maybe 20. But it's not playing the game. Yeah.
Empty calories, need big numbers.
Yes.
I mean, numbers, meaningful numbers.
Right. 16-10 would be way more productive, I'm thinking, for the Kings than him scoring 18-20 and he getting his. And so, but if that happens, the 16-10, the grease is heating up.
Yeah.
Yeah, because watch out.
Right.
The kid's got talent.
And then there's other pieces that'll all be important to the puzzle. So we'll talk more about the Kings coming up in the next hour. Bobby Marks, a conversation we had with him last week. We want you to hear that as the ESPN insider, kind of all things cap related. We chat with him next here on KHDK.